Walking with Jesus, all the different hymns, a lot of different things reflect a lot on what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. I feel like I don't have much prepared this morning. That's how I feel. And I'm not sure why that is. Gideon asked me, how's it going? You have something ready to go this morning? I said, well, I did a lot of looking, studying, but I said, I sure don't have much. I'm not sure. Normally, I would be real nervous standing here not having hardly anything in front of me of what we're going to share, but we're going to get into that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, I thank you for another day. I thank you for each one that's here, and I thank you for who you are. And thanks for making a way for us, God. And God, we just come to you this morning with open hearts to see what you have for us. You would speak to our hearts, and whatever you have for us today, God, I pray that we would look to you, and that we just have our hearts attuned to you. We just pray this all in your name. Amen. Last Sunday, anybody recall what went on last Sunday in our singing, worship time? Last Sunday kind of happened right up here. Wouldn't we all agree that the Spirit of God was moving last Sunday? We gathered up here, we prayed for the Miller family for this past week. And I was thinking about that quite a bit this week, and I had a chance to talk to Sean a little bit, and kind of what Gideon shared. The jury decided to throw everything at him, all five charges against him, and I was thinking about that some. Excuse me a second. If things aren't squared up, I start noticing real quick. I'm not sitting square with the aisle. So I was thinking about that this week quite a bit. And different things running through my mind, and I was kind of excited to see what God was going to bring together as I kind of mentally make a list in my mind of what I want to talk about as I go through the week. And when I study for something to share on Sunday morning, it usually ends up being early in the morning. I wake up early, and that's usually when I can think the clearest. So 4 or 5 o'clock, I often get up and I try to put it together, put the thoughts, the mental thoughts together, and see where God takes us with it. And I got up early, and I sat there, and I sat there, and sat there. I looked at verses. I read verses. I thought about things. Song I want to share a little later on, and almost nothing. Finally, after a while, I was getting a little frustrated. I'm like, God, this is your time. What do you want me to share? There's just nothing coming. All these thoughts that ran through my mind through the week, I'm like, man, nothing of it. None of it's coming together. I'm not sure what's going on here. And normally I would be nervous standing here. Maybe I am more than I think, but maybe I'm just getting used to you. I'm not sure. But, it is a little unnerving not having a lot in front of you. Josh, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's a little unnerving knowing what does God have for us. And I thought back to last week, and so we're going to touch on that a little bit. Not sure how it ties together with the other, but wouldn't you agree that any one of us, I know Jason's serving time right now, drive me crazy, and I think he has frustrations just like any of us would there too. But couldn't that be any one of us? Absolutely could be any one of us. But God. And no, the trial didn't go the way we were hoping it would this week. But it's not completely over either. I was talking to Sean, and we can pray and keep praying for is now up to the judge to decide sentence length of how long that would be. But I told Sean, I said, what we can pray for is a gracious judge, right? And he's like, yep, that's right. So we can. There's still hope. That doesn't mean it's over or anything like that. But according to the jury, they want to throw everything at him. And it could be with what Gideon was sharing too. Kind of the heartless things people do and judge and all that kind of thing, but you know what? It all comes down to one person. I would sure hate to be a judge on doing that kind of is Jesus to you this morning? It's open for anybody. Share it out. This might take the rest of the time. I don't know. Who is Jesus to you this morning? Miles or Gage, could I get you to get me a glass of water? Maybe something fairly big, because I kind of run through water when I talk. Who is Jesus to you this morning? Best friend. I like that one word right there. Somebody else? Life? Over here. What's your youth? Got a whole string of them down that side bench over there. Who's Jesus to you this morning? Say that again. That's right. Store. Yep. Conqueror. Yep. I see it. Think about, it was soon after, thinking of that trial this week, soon after we moved here, we were eating lunch back here with Enos, and Enos was sharing with us a little bit about Jason at that time, and he said, man, I just feel like God's given him a second chance, and multiple chances, and he told me that day, he said, normally somebody that is into the stuff that he's into, and I don't really know Jason. I really don't know him that well at all. But he said the stuff that he's into, normally a person's lifespan is about 7 years after he's into it. Now, you guys know him a lot more than I do, and I forget the exact number of what he said, something like 20 years been into it. He said that's multiple second chances that God's given. He said God has a plan. And he said I'm leaning hard on God. That whatever that plan is, it'll take place. Well, would we not, by looking back, see that God's plan is taking place? That guy is changing lives at where he's at. In a cell. I mean, not exciting at all, but he's changing lives at where he's at. And I often think back to that conversation we had with Enos of the second chances God gives us. It could be any one of us at that spot, but God giving us that second chance, maybe that third chance or that fourth chance, with all the dumb decisions we make through life. But it could be us doing the exact same thing. So last Sunday we gathered up here and we prayed, and I remember I came up to pray for him, and as I'm coming up here, Tony tells me lead out in prayer, and there was only one thing going through my mind. Had absolutely nothing to do with the Miller family. I was was stuck on a song we sang. That we had sung last Sunday, and Tony tells me, go ahead and lead out. And man, I had to think fast. I was like, oh my goodness. I wasn't expecting that. And it's so exciting to me to see, which is why I prayed this morning that God would open our hearts of what he has for us. There was no doubt that God was moving last Sunday. Not that he doesn't every Sunday, but he moves in different ways to each and every one. So as he's moving here, Tony's using him up front. He's leading songs, things he had to share, and what he shared about that song that he wrote. Meanwhile, God's back there. And when we sang that certain song, God hit me right there. Pow. Here. That was supposed to be way at the end. So we'll see if we can get through this. But when God, or when you hear the word, so we said a little bit about who is Jesus to you this morning. If you hear the word overcome, what would that word mean? If you are overcome by something, what is it? Anybody, everybody. You're overcome. Could be anything. You could be overcome by a lot of different things. And it could be of a lot of different things. Right now where we're living at, we have some of the sunsets are amazing over here where you guys are at. It happens right above you. And you probably can see some of it, but a lot of it's probably blocked by the trees, I think, sometimes. I'm a little jealous of the shade you get early in the day over here, but there are some nights when this sky lights up so bright over here on a sunset, you just sit there and look. And what's really cool sometimes is Grandma, all of a sudden, if he sees it or something like that, Mom, you have to come see this. And so we'll go outside and we'll stand there and look at it. And sometimes you're just overcome by, wow, that doesn't just happen. Only God can create that kind of beauty in the sky like that. So sometimes you're overcome by just a feeling, by something you see. Your eyes see it, something happens in your heart. I don't think that feeling happens in your heart if you're not serving the Lord. I just don't think that happens. But there is obviously the handiwork of God. You can be overcome with a feeling. You can be overcome with, what else? What's other things you can become overcome with? Presence of God. You can be overcome with fear too, can't you? All of a sudden you're overcome with fear. Anybody ever experienced that? When all of a sudden you're just hit with fear, boy, this is bringing up a story that I did not think about at all, but it's hitting me right now. I've never experienced anything quite like this before until I came out here. We moved here at the end of January, and I came out early January. I think it was around the 7th, I believe, and was out here for 10 days working on our place before we moved here. In them 10 days, Brother Jerry back here asked me if I'd meet him for breakfast one morning, and I did, and he's asked me different things. We met, he's asking about work stuff, and I know we were talking about the mill and that kind of thing, of what I was going to do, and as we're sitting there in Cafe Jack's, I have never been hit with it like that before, but I got struck with fear like I have never seen before. Physically, my stomach just started turning. I was like, I cannot. I think I was eating probably an omelet because I'm a big omelet fan. I could not put that food down. It all of a sudden was just like, I am going to throw up here. And I was like, what is going on? Jerry was talking at the time, and I don't know if I heard even what he was saying, but it was overcome with fear. It was like the enemy was just throwing stuff. You are not going to make it if you make this move out here. You don't have work, you don't have this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, on and on it went. And it was just churning, and it was making me me sick. Finally, I pulled myself together enough, and I said, Jerry, I don't know if you know what's going on, but I said, I have never had something like this before. And I forget if we prayed about it right then or not, but I know while he was talking, I was trying to act like I was listening, but I was praying. I'm like, God, I give this to you. I feel like this is what we were supposed to do, and this is the plans that we've made, but this fear has got to go because this isn't from you. And all of a sudden, it just kind of, it was like it just calmed. And we were able to continue on our conversation, that kind of thing. But I have never been hit with it quite like that before. Overcome with fear, and it was just an attack of the enemy that you are not going to make it, whatever plans you had ahead. Overcome. You can be overcome with stress. Get stressed out about a lot of different things. Sometimes everything happens at once, and boy, it's easy to get stressed out real quick. You can be overcome with emotion. Oh, that's a little bit. Well, a little bit ago, I experienced just a little bit of that all of a sudden because I'm thinking about what God did. But even last Sunday, you can be overcome with emotion. You can be overcome by a lot of different things, overcome by thoughts. Let's turn our Bibles to, I'm going to read a couple verses out of Colossians 2, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Also, I'm going to read from Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Going back to Colossians, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, but then in the next, saying, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I think just about all these verses that I picked out this morning, I think just about everyone has thanksgiving in it. And that is not near all the times thanksgiving is being used in the Bible. It is in there a lot. That we are to come with thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful for? Who's Jesus to you this morning? We have an endless amount of things we should be giving to God daily. I'm not sure if this cup is leaking or what, but we are getting massive puddles. Got the Fountain of Youth going on up here. I'm not sure what this is, but it is really coming out of there. Walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What does that all, what does that sound like in them verses? Basically, be overcome by him, correct? In everything. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him. That would be like your foundation. You're rooted, you're built up, you're not moving. You're staying right there with him. Established in the faith. That comes from just walking with him, right? That's how you get established in the faith. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just abounding. If you're abounding in something, you're just living right there in it. The next verse I have here, Philippians 4, 6. Thank you, sir. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I kind of like studying, I came up with a verse that said, be careful for nothing. Does anybody see them little clips on the back of a semi when you're traveling along and it says, my goal is safety? That phrase always just gets me. Why is that? Because it's become such a popular thing that everything be safe, be safe. And it takes over. I guess maybe it's my smart aleck attitude. I read it and I say, if my goal would be safety, I wouldn't get anything done. I said, my goal is to get something done, but get it done in a safe manner. My goal is not safety. My goal is to get something done. So let's do it in a safe way, you know. But I love this verse. Be careful for nothing. Maybe that's just the wild streak in me going on. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm going to go ahead and read the next verses, too, that I also really like. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the word that stuck out to me last Sunday, so we sang the song, Good and Gracious King last Sunday. And that is the song that hit me, and it is one of my favorite songs. And I love when we sing it here. Good and Gracious King. And as we were singing through that, I'm just going to read through it. We're going to make some comments on different things in that song. I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you, well, let's just go over the first couple lines there. I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring. And it's amazing how God just started hitting me with these words as we were singing it last Sunday. We come to the throne of glory with all the things that we come with sometimes. So many times it's, God, I need this. God, I need this. I need help with this. We lift this person to you. You know, it's a lot of requests, which is nothing wrong with coming with requests. We're going to get to that down a little bit farther. All the things we come to the throne of glory with. Nothing in my hands I bring. To me, it was just saying, leave it all behind and just come to the throne. Oh. But the promise of acceptance, wherever we're at, right there, God wants us to come to Him. He doesn't want us to stay there, but He does want us to come to Him wherever we are at. From a good and gracious King. And His grace meets us right there time and time again. I will give to you my burden. Lay it down at the cross. Give it to God, however you need to do that. Give it to God. As you give to me your strength, as He pours into us, answers them prayers, all that stuff that He does for us over and over. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. This is the phrase that really, next two lines, as you deserve the greater glory. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice. That's where that word came in at, overcome. And it just hit me. I'm like, God, am I overcome with you? Because being, to me, that word overcome hit me in a different way last week. You deserve the greater glory. He deserves so much more than us just coming and asking Him for things. He wants us just to come and worship Him for who He is. Just lift our praises to Him. Leave everything else behind and just come and worship Him. Overcome, I lift my voice. Just being overcome by Him of what all He's done. It's when you stop and think about it. So we heard this method that what Eric shared this morning, and with the thing he played there. Overcome, I lift my voice. When you think about what all Christ has done, hung on that cross, and oh, so much more. I think of this trial. That could be me sitting in that cell. Just overcome with emotion of who God is and what he's done. To the King, in need of nothing. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need any one of us, but he wants us. And these words just rang so true to me last week. Oh, he's perfect. He's a perfect King. Never once has he made a mistake. And we have the privilege to come and just communicate with him, worship, just interact with him on a day-to-day basis. The next line says, empty-handed I rejoice. And I was just, in my heart, just thinking about that. Empty-handed I rejoice. Leave it all behind. No cares, God. I just rejoice in who you are. I'm so grateful we sang this song because so much of this was just, it was such a good reminder to me of how often, you know, I come to God and you come with all these requests and all these things you want God to do. Why do I do that so often? Why don't I just come to God and be like, God, thank you. Thank you. Just like these verses say, with thanksgiving. I think every one of these verses had either thankful or thanksgiving or something like that in it. Just come and being thankful. We should never be done being thankful for what he has done in so many ways, for just walking us through life. Oh, drawing us out of a pit that could have ended horribly different. Rescuing us. Why did he take the time on me? Not holding anything back, empty-handed. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend. I think Jake mentioned a friend. I said, like he walks into, or he comes into your personal life. When you let him, he'll walk right there with you as a friend, side by side. Your everyday work, whatever it is, he walks with you as a friend. Oh. Safe, secure in you forever, I pour out my praise again. Because you deserve the greater glory. There's the word again, overcome. I lift my voice. I start thinking about that stuff. I get overcome with emotion. We sing this song, I often become overcome with emotion. To the King in need of nothing. He doesn't need a thing. Some of the main lines that stood out to me in this is, with joy I sing to the King in need of nothing. He deserves my everything. He deserves the greater glory. He deserves it all. Everything we can give him, he deserves it. Doesn't need it. He deserves it. He deserves every, and he wants that relationship with him. So I ask again, who is Jesus to you this morning? I like this answer over here. Who can say it? He's your everything. Let's make him our everything. else, a couple more verses. Really like these verses. Psalms 28, 6 to 8. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. More reason to trust him, more reason to give thanks. And when you trust in him, you'll be helped. Somebody have something else they want to share along these lines? Something that stood out to you? Maybe it's something in this song. I don't know. I'm not sure how this song hits you, but it hits me in a real way when I sing it. Somebody have something you want to share along them lines?
The unfairness, perhaps, it can be debatable what's fair and what's not, but that's what I was thinking about a lot when Ryan played the soundtrack this morning, of the unfairness. You know, it's so unfair. So many things are unfair. It's not right. But you know what else is not fair? It's not fair that we can come together and stand or sit here in freedom and have a pure heart before God, and be, even Jason in prison can have, it's really not fair that he can have the peace of God in his heart and be set free internally, regardless of the walls around him. So we have a choice. We can think of the not fair on the left, or we can think of the not fair on the right. And it's a world of difference. It's completely different. It'll change your life.
You know, when we have conflict in relationship, maybe it's church, family, work, whatever it is, and, you know, we can often focus on, you know, even like the trial, like, again, like I said, I was there and I heard the closing arguments, and I just thought some of the evidence produced was so, so unbelievably weak. Like, and the judge specifically instructed them, if there is any reasonable doubt, you cannot convict. I'm like, how could you possibly convict? Because there was so much reasonable doubt. But anyway, this is where, if Jesus is everything, we can go through those things. Conflict, whatever it is, you have to give everything to him. So I don't, wherever you are today, like if you're carrying things against somebody, against your family, against, you know, things that happened in your past, if you can bring that to Jesus and really, truly surrender, you can find peace. I don't care where you are, how old you are, how young you are, if there's something that you're carrying, or maybe you have never made a choice to give your life to Jesus. You know, I heard somebody preach one time, you know, people want to bring their sin to Jesus, and that's good. That's where you bring it for redemption. Jesus wants more than your sin. He wants all of you. Are you willing to bring yourself and give and make Jesus your everything? And then these things that we're offended about, we're hurt about, we're mad about, it becomes he that bears that burden. Say, I just appreciate, don't feel bad that it's short. I feel like, you know, if we heard what you and Eric's burden was, I mean, it's grace to overcome. It's making Jesus our everything. And, you know, it doesn't need to be long. So I just feel like it's powerful. Maybe it's short, but that's all right.
He's also our counselor. And I find that if I humble myself and take his counsel, that I save myself a lot of trouble. And I know that I've walked through hard valleys, and partially it was my own fault because he has brought me through much. And yet, when I come up to a wall, I find myself fretting and not trusting that he won't do it again. So, yeah, if I give everything and just not worry, leave it in his hands, it brings peace to my heart, and he always works it out.
Anyone else have something to share? Well, I asked the worship team if they would sing this song for us here at the end. Are you still prepared for that, Ben? If you want God to be, or if you want Jesus to be your everything, come gather right around this stage. We're going to sing this as a family right up here around the front. So come on up, worship team. We're going to sing this song up front here. And I'll turn it over to Dennis once we're done.
Child and as your